Covenant family. Amen. So today, I want to speak to us a little bit about eschatology. And for those of us who don't know what the word eschatology means, basically it's a posh technical word for the study of end times. Yeah, so I'm gonna take my portion of text from Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is known as the Olivet Discourse. Olivet referring to the location where Jesus spoke it, which was the Mount of Olives. And discourse, which basically means to speak authoritatively about a topic. So Jesus is speaking about a specific topic, which is the end times, with authority on the Mount of Olives. Okay, that's what that means, basically. So it's a passage found in the Synoptic Gospels in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark chapter 13 and Luke 21. We've heard Patrick touch on it here and there when he's been going through various books. It's also known as the Little Apocalypse because it includes the use of apocalyptic language, and it includes Jesus warning to his followers that they will suffer tribulation and persecution before the ultimate triumph of the kingdom of God. It's worth mentioning that there's a few different eschatological views. There are some people who believe that everything I'm about to speak about and all of the end time stuff has already been fulfilled in the year AD 70. I specifically don't hold to that view. I disagree for a few reasons. A couple being Jesus hasn't separated the sheep from the goats yet. Jesus hasn't come on the clouds yet. But I would say that they have partially been fulfilled and the rest is yet to come. You know, maybe you guys can do your own study and come to your own conclusion on these things. So I'm gonna read the text and I'm gonna pray and then we'll see if we can unpack it, yeah? All right, cool. So Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to be dealing with verses 1 to 14. And it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." Old English, yeah? "And Jesus said to them, 'See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.' And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then the end shall come." Amen. Just going to pray quickly. Father, thank you for these truths, this view, this vision of the future, Lord, of what is to come, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, Lord, and open them up for it to receive your word, Lord. For revelation, Lord, we pray for wisdom to understand these things, Lord. I I pray for clarity, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, cool. So verse 1, Jesus left the temple and he's walking away and his disciples come to him to point out the buildings. You see all these things? He replied, I truly tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Matthew chapter 24 is a chapter where I say it's got big bars. Yeah, meaning like in rap music and stuff, if you really like a line or something like that, you say, whoa, those bars are big. And the Bible's full of big bars, but Matthew chapter 24 in particular, I think is full of big bars, yeah? So it's prophecy from start to finish. Jesus is prophesying in the beginning the destruction of the great Jewish temple, you know, which came to pass approximately about 37 years after he was telling the disciples these things in AD 70, when Jerusalem and everything in Jerusalem, including the temple, was completely destroyed by the Romans. But at that time, Jesus was telling them, this would have been very hard for them to grasp. You know what I'm saying? Because almost unbelievable for such a great structure, this huge, great building and huge, great religious institution to be destroyed, which is why I think they associated it with the end of the world, like some kind of apocalyptic stuff, you know what I'm saying? Verse 3 says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus says, take heed that no one deceive you. Verse 3, it's like three questions in one, really, isn't it? I noticed that Jesus totally blanks the first question, like, when is it going to be? Like, blank, you know what I'm saying? But when he does respond, he responds in classic Jesus fashion. You know, he says, like, see to it that no one deceives you, you know? And goes on to mention deception and false prophets. In the book of Matthew, in the chapter 24 alone, we're warned about deception and false prophets four separate times in chapter 24 alone, you know what I'm saying? Which, to me, indicates that a clear sign of Jesus' return that we should look out for is deception, you know, and particularly deception in Christendom, yeah? So verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, there's always been people claiming to be Jesus, or the return of Jesus, or the reincarnation of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And there will continue to be those kind of people until Christ does return. But it does amaze me the amount of people that believe them, that follow them. If you look at these people, they've got huge followings of thousands of people who take these people seriously, like, you know, like how we take Jesus seriously, for real. Even last week, Donald Trump said something like he is the chosen one of Israel, or Israel's chosen one. Yeah, something like that. Did anybody else hear that? Yeah, body heard it. Yeah, praise the Lord. And you heard it as well. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is the Antichrist, yeah? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, yeah? Other examples of this, like this has been going on for millennia, but other examples in 1760s, there was a Russian guy called Skopsky. His name was Selvinov, yeah, from Skopsky or some Skopsky. He started his own sect from the Russian out of the Russian Orthodox Church, styling himself as the Son of God and Redeemer. He had a follower of over 246 people. In 1834, John Nichols, a Cornish tax rebel, claimed to be the savior of the world and the reincarnation of Jesus Christ before he was killed by British soldiers. Krishna Venter, born Francis Herman in San Francisco in 1948. He stated that he was Christ, the new Messiah, and claimed to have led a convoy of rocket ships to Earth. Do you know what I mean? So there's been many nutters claiming to be Christ. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus was right. A lie? Many will come in my name saying I am Christ. Yeah. So, and those are just a few. You know what I'm saying? Verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. Andrew told us a few weeks ago that we shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't worry about things. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The world has never seen so much war in the 20th and 21st centuries. The wars that have happened have just been, crazy, off the Richter scale. And they've got these little charts and stuff where you can look on Google and you can see the scale of wars that have been going on over the past centuries. And just like the Bible says, you know, wars and rumors of wars is happening. But not only those kind of wars, in this kind of, in the 21st century where we're living now, we've got biological war, chemical war, psychological war. I saw this thing the other day called the Great Hack, where they're taking our data. Like, data is the most valuable commodity right now, more than oil, more than gold. Do you know what I'm saying? And that is a type of warfare, or can be used for. We've got 5G technology, which there's a lot of stuff going on around this 5G technology stuff, you know? But don't worry, because the end is not yet, you know what I'm saying? Like, Bob Marley's got some bars that says, have no fear for atomic energy, because none of them can stop the time. You know what I'm saying? So have no fear, the end is not yet, and they can't go around God's word, you know? Verse 7 says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, nation against nation can mean exactly what it says, nation against nation, but it can get deeper. Like, the Greek is ethnos against ethnos. So, you know, it can be English against Irish. It can be, you know, Indian against, sorry, the Muslims against the Hindus, you know, in the Indian thing. You know, it could be Jamaicans against Bajans. You know what I'm saying? Famine is still a huge problem. There's some credible sources that say there's more famine now than there ever has been. You know what I'm saying? Even though we have children in need and Band-Aid or Live Aid, we've got all these things going on to cure famine, but yet famine is at an all-time high. You know what I'm saying? That's quite interesting to me, you know? Earthquakes, hurricanes. Like, I didn't even know what a tsunami was until about, I don't know, 15 years ago when it first happened on Boxing Day. I didn't know what a tsunami was. Like, what's a tsunami? I just, you know what I mean? Since then, there's been more. You know? Climate change. The planet's overheating. You know what I'm saying? And we can see this, you know, with our own eyes. We can witness these things. Verse 8. Guess what? This is just the beginning. These are the beginning of sorrows, or some translations say the beginning of birth pains or birth pangs, you know? And the mothers in here, or anybody, even fathers, people who are familiar with labor and childbirth and stuff, women go through contractions, don't they? And like, they'll have a contraction and then it'll be all right for a little while, and then the contraction, the pain will come back, and then the more it goes on, the more intense the pain gets, and the shorter the contractions are apart from each other. Well, I believe that this is what Jesus is saying. Like, you know, the trouble's already started. It's just the beginning, and it's going to get more intense, you know, and closer together, more closer together. That's what I believe Jesus meant by that. The beginning of sorrows, or the beginning of birth pains. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, Christians have been mocked and laughed at and all of that since the beginning, really, since Jesus came. Imprisoned, beaten, killed, you know, for the faith. Since day one, you know, most of the apostles, I think, apart from John the apostle, was all killed, was all executed for their testimony of Jesus, you know what I'm saying? We don't get much physical persecution living in London, you know? But there's parts of the world right now that if you believe Jesus is God, you can be killed for that confession. You know what I'm saying? It brings a whole new meaning to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you know what I'm saying? Because if it means that you're going to lose your head confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, would you still confess with your mouth? You know, I'd like to think that we all would, but it's a question for us to ask ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Look at how we're hated in the world, in society. You know, we're hated by liberalists, we're hated by capitalists, we're hated by homosexuals, we're hated. Like, just being a Christian is not cool. Like, it's not the thing to do. It's like, you're weird if you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus, like for real, fam. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how they look at us. You know what I'm saying? And if we don't know these are things we should know. Like, people look at you weird for believing in Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Or old-fashioned or something like that. Like 50 years ago in this country that we're living in, the gospel was preached. It was preached in schools. It was preached, like, churches was full on a Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? Look how fast things have changed. Like, 50 years really isn't a long time. Like, my dad's 96. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just my dad's lifetime, if I put myself in my dad's shoes, like, sometimes I see him, he's sitting down and he's watching, like, CNN or something, and he'll be like, what is Twitter? What is, you know what I'm saying? What is Facebook? And I'm like, rah, for my dad, today's society must be so strange. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he was growing up, it was the radio. It wasn't even TV. And now we've got little computers that we roll around with every day and in our pockets. You know what I'm saying? Smartphones, smart tablets, all these things. You know what I'm saying? It's just amazing still, really. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Think about how many people are offended by the name of Jesus, or offended by the gospel, or offended if you tell them you're a sinner and you need a savior. You know, just the name of Jesus can cause an argument, you know, or, yeah, sad to say, but us as Christians, we can covet what other Christians have. We can gossip about each other, you know. I think generally there's a strong feeling of hate and anger, just in general, not amongst Christians, but just in general in the world. People are just angry, man. People are walking around very angry and very agitated. It don't take much to press people's buttons out here, you know what I'm saying? Daniel 12, chapter 10, says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You know, these are the signs of the times, as we say. This stuff is supposed to happen. You know, there's gonna be bad things happening. You know, kids killing kids and all this stuff that's happening is supposed to happen. Prophecy speaks of it, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we should pray against these things, but on the other hand, we should expect these things. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to get worse. As me and Wayne were speaking about this in the week. You know what I'm saying? They will get worse. There's going to be more killings. Black boys and black girls and people killing themselves over nothing. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Again, verse 11 warns us about deception and false prophets. And there's a wide range of sects and cults. And they all claim to believe in Jesus, like one way or another. But they don't really. You know, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Science, Hebrew Israelites, even Muslims, you know what I'm saying? Because they say they believe in Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Again, I'm truly amazed at the huge following that these cults have. But Jesus said that many will be deceived, and he was right. A lie? Many are deceived, man. Like, there's over 8 million Jehovah's Witnesses in 240 countries worldwide. You know, just a few things that the JWs believe. They believe Jesus is a created being and that he was Michael, the archangel, before he came to the earth as the God-man, you know. And the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles T. Russell, he predicted the end of the world three different times. Yeah, he only needs to get it wrong once to be a false prophet. You know what I'm saying? In 2012, there was estimated 14.8 million Mormons. Those are, they say they're the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And a few of the things that they believe is that they believe in a heavenly mother, yeah? You know, like God's our heavenly father, they believe in a heavenly mother, yeah? And they believe Jesus is the half-brother of Satan, yeah? According to a study in 2015, Islam has 1.8 billion followers. And among some of the things they believe, they deny the death and resurrection of Jesus. And they deny Jesus' deity. They say God cannot beget, neither has God been begotten. So when a Muslim comes to you and say, we believe in Jesus, we believe in God, we just got different. No, they don't. It's a complete different thing. It's antichrist doctrine. It's false teaching. Yeah? All these people are going to hell, guys. Unless they repent, of course. But what about things that are closer to home, man, like the prosperity gospel and the, you know, throwing them on the floor and blowing on them. And you know what I'm saying? Like, what about that? I'm sure a lot of us has experienced these. I mean, we're taking serious thing, make joke, really. You know what I'm saying? Because some people swear by this stuff, you know. I've had bad experiences in those kind of churches myself. I'm sure some of you guys have. You know what I'm saying? I do believe that if you're genuinely seeking God, he will lead you out of those things. Because I believe he led me and my wife out of that and brought us here. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's just nuts. People flock to this stuff. You know, the whole name it and claim it thing. And you know, sowing a seed, which sowing a seed is the word of God. But they have it to sow in a seed is to give money to an organization and say that God is going to bless your £10 10 times. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's false teaching. It's false teaching, man. You know, it's in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul talks about the falling away of the church. You know what I'm saying? The great falling away. And I believe this is where these things are. The prosperity gospel, I believe the church, in my opinion, has fallen away. 2 Thessalonians says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the fallen away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, you know? It also goes on to say, who goes into the temple and calls himself God, but I'm not really going to go into that because I don't get to that part of the text later on. But verse 12. I forgot to mention, there's so much stuff, man. Like, homosexual clergy, like, the Anglican church have allowed it for vicars to marry men. If the church ain't falling away, I don't know what, go on, fam. You know what I'm saying? But it is nuts. Like, we work at a Christian organization, me and Andrew here. There's things that, like, within the body, we have to battle with, we have to wrestle with. There's hard debates that we have to have. And that's in a Christian context. Do you know what I mean? Don't know, man. Verse 12. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All right, cool. So this is written in Greek here. This original language is written in Greek here. In the Greek language, there's four different words for love. Yeah. So we've got philia, yeah, which can refer to a friendship or a brotherly love. We have storge. Don't know if I'm pronouncing these ones right. Which is described to be, you know, like the love of a parent would naturally have for their child. Eros, which is a passionate, you know, romantic, sexual love. And we have agape, which is the love of God. Yeah? And the word used here for the love of many shall wax cold is agape. You know, it's God's love. So, you know, does that mean the love of Christians to each other? You know, does that mean the love of Christians to God? You know, does that mean the love of Christians in general? Just the love of Christians will wax cold. Do you know what I'm saying? I think it's a serious thing, you know. The Bible says that kind of love that we have, God's love, will wax cold. You know, and thinking about it, how much time, you know, do we kind of, you know, yeah, I'm saved and it's all about me being saved and I'm good. So I ain't really got to care about the homeless man on the street, or I ain't really got to, you know, forgive my brother who's offended me, or, you know what I'm saying? I ain't really got to share the gospel. I'm good. I'm saved, you know? Or they're too wicked, or I'm better than them, you know? Is that love waxing cold? Verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." So, what's the gospel of the kingdom? I believe it's what John the Baptist was preaching, you know? Like, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and Jesus came and stamped it over again and said the same thing in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe the gospel of the kingdom is the same gospel, you know, that we're sinners, saved by the blood of Jesus, but I also believe that it's that with repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, because all these things, what we've just been looking at, is going to happen. Repent, because Maranatha, our Lord is coming soon. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of the fence. You don't want to be outside of that. You don't want to be separated from God. So repent. That's what I believe the gospel of the kingdom is. The gospel, but with an eschatological emphasis on the end of it. You know what I'm saying? It's a crucial message that we have, especially in these times that, you know, if we're looking at the scriptures, if I'm looking at them right, we're in the end times right now. We're living in them. And this message, this gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached, must be preached, and will be preached, you know, like Jesus said. You know, our interest here and our knowledge in these things, in what we're looking at here in Matthew 24 and in other books, in, you know, the book of Revelation and, you know, other little parts of the Bible that speak of end times events. I believe our knowledge on these things, it will keep us on our toes. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is coming like a thief in the night, yeah? But he's coming like a thief in the night to those who ain't really looking for him. You get what I'm saying? Because they're not expecting him, yeah? But us who is expecting him, He's not going to come like a thief in the night to us. We're waiting. We're really, we want him to come. Like, come now, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we sing. Did we sing that this morning? You know what I'm saying? So, Jesus said, therefore, keep watch. So you don't, because you don't know the day your Lord will come, you know? This book here, this great library of books, I should say, you know? It tells us the future, you know? And it's been predicting the future for thousands of years already. Remember, from the Old Testament, it's been predicting things. And it's never been wrong. You get what I'm saying? Jesus came, said stuff, died, and rose again. So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a believe the guy that rose from the dead. You get what I'm saying? That's the guy I'm going to listen to. Yeah. You know? I believe it's healthy for us to look into these things, even if we disagree on things. We're all Christians. We're going to the same heaven. We believe in the same Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, unless we're going outside of the Bible, it's okay for you to disagree with me on certain subjects that are not issues of salvation, you know? And iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? And while we have the privilege, like the Bible says that angels would long to look into the things of God, the things of salvation, these things that we have at our liberty. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. These are exciting times we're living in, fam. You know? I believe if the early church was here in these times, they'd be super encouraged of how the scriptures is just playing out in everyday life, playing out on the news, playing out, yeah, just Bibles coming to life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so let's be encouraged, man, in who we are, you know, in Christ Jesus. Let's be encouraged in our redemption, you know, in the surety of our salvation, empowered by the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's tell somebody about Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Let's be bold and actively try and get into a Jesus conversation. Let's make it our business to go out there and, how can I bring up Jesus in a topic today? You know what I'm saying? We're on a mission, right? This is a mission we're on, Ally. You know what I'm saying? So when you're on a mission, you have an assignment. God's given us an assignment to go and make disciples. You know, we've got to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So there's nothing wrong with being a bit conniving to want to share the gospel. Do you agree with me? Okay, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the good news of Jesus dying and resurrecting for our sins. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, fam, I want us to be encouraged, man. You know? Even if it means we look like fools in the eyes of the world, you know? Jesus died for you, you know? Jesus died for me, you know? I'm willing to be a fool for Christ, because Christ died for me. You understand? So, yeah. Let's take our mission seriously, man, because it's a serious mission. Yeah, we can have fun, we can run joke, but there's people out there who are dying. There's like, you know that movie, The Night of the Walking Dead? Like, there's dead people walking around. There's zombies, they're dead. Yeah, we have been made alive through Christ. They're dead. Yeah? We have this information, this good news. They might reject it, fam. They might throw it back at you, tell you some bad words. At least you ain't got blood on your hands, like what Ezekiel says. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I want us to be encouraged, fam. Yeah, Jesus is real. He's alive. This gospel is true. And I will go to my grave for it. I will die for it. You know? So yeah, let me pray.
Father, I thank you that your word is alive, Lord. It's active. It's sharp enough to cut between bone and marrow, Lord. Soul and spirit, Lord. Thank you for this amazing word, for this truth, Lord. I thank you for revealing yourself to us, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, for our church, Lord, for our family, Lord. We are few, but I believe we are faithful, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Patrick, Lord, week in, week out, Lord, studying your word and sharing it with us, Lord, faithfully, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for everybody in there, Lord. I thank you for their lives, Lord. I thank you for their salvation, Lord. I pray that we're encouraged, Lord. I pray that we will go and preach your gospel, Lord. Preach of your kingdom, Lord. Preach of Jesus, Lord. And I pray that you will use it, Lord, for your glory, Lord, because your word will not return to you void, Lord. I pray by your spirit you will lead many people back to yourselves, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, Lord. Thank you for choosing a wretch like me, Lord, who was lost, Lord, in darkness, Lord, and in sin, Lord. Thank you for rescuing me, Lord. I am eternally grateful. Bless the rest of our day today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.